Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
What if you could be as creative as all those Silicon Valley innovators? Hey everyone, Kevin Cruz here. Welcome to the LeadX Show, always the smartest way to start your day. I hope you'll remember that I'm on a mission to spark 100 million leaders in 10 years, which is why you and your colleagues can get free video training at leadx.org. There's courses on leadership, management, productivity, even personal branding. We have a free course every single day, leadx.org. Today, I talked to a Stanford professor who teaches an innovation system to Silicon Valley executives. She shares the career advice she gives her students, which is probably the best I've ever heard from one of our guests. And we talk about the innovation cycle, her four-step system that you can use to unleash your creativity. And she shares a challenge of the day, which is to just go out into the world and to observe. Notice what things can be better, what things are broken, and it aligns with her very first step, which is to engage with the world and envision. Today's quote of the day is, "Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans." I think for so many people I know, John Lennon, he's the one who said that original statement, could say, "Life is what happens to you when you're surfing on Facebook or cleaning up the house or all these other little things we do to procrastinate." But let's get to the program. For 18 years, our guest has taught the best and brightest at Google, Intel, Adobe, Apple, and other Silicon Valley companies how to unleash their creative entrepreneurial spirit. She has a PhD in neuroscience and is a Stanford professor. Her new book is Creativity Rules: Get Ideas Out of Your Head and Into the World. Our guest is Dr. Tina Seelig. Tina, welcome to the show.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Now, Tina, I have a sort of a ritual for this show. All the guests get the same first question, which is, because I believe failures are almost always stepping stones. We don't know where they lead at the time, of course. You know, I'm wondering if you'll tell us a story about one of your best failures and what you learned from it.
I love that you're starting right there. I am a huge fan of failure and I get to practice it every day. In fact, I have my students write failure resumes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I am a huge believer that failure is data and that every day we're doing all these experiments in our life. And if you don't mine the data from the disappointments as well as the successes, you're really missing a huge opportunity. So I keep my own failure resume. Sometimes it's not written down, but I definitely at the end of every day, I look back and say, what did I learn? And so what are my biggest failures? Oftentimes my failures are those things I haven't done, you know, missed opportunities, like not listening to my gut or not paying attention to something or making assumptions that aren't correct. I think one of my most profound failures is when I started my first company, I had a failure vision. And the vision I had was way too small. And so I basically said, well, I want to demonstrate that I can build this company and sell it in 2 years. So you can imagine when I got to the end of 2 years, in my mind, well, I had accomplished what I thought I could.
Right.
And so when an opportunity came around to sell the company, I did so. Now, the potential for the business was enormous, as demonstrated by other companies that came in afterwards and basically did incredible things in this market. But I realized at that point that if I had had a bigger vision, I would have actually worked through the problems that were in front of me, as opposed to saying, okay, this is time to get out.
Yeah, well, you actually make me feel a little bit better to know that I'm in good company, because I also consider some of my biggest failures sort of having my goals set too small. And similarly, when I was in my 20s, one of my early companies, I set a goal, hit it, sold it in 5 years. And looking back, it's like, if I had just held out another 5 years, it would have been, you know, a multiple higher than it was.
Yeah, exactly. And but, you know, I look back and say, okay, now I get to teach that lesson to my students. And it's fascinating to see the different levels of visions people set for themselves. And it's an amazing thing for us to question that and to think about what stage we want to play out our life.
Right.
And that we have some control over that.
Yeah. And in the spirit of the advice you give to students, and, you know, some of your students are just starting their career, but I also know you've, you know, taught many Silicon Valley leaders. I mean, what advice, like what's a key piece of advice you would give to a young professional who wants to stand out and really, you know, thrive in her career?
Yeah. So one of my favorite pieces of advice is that when you get a job, you do not get that job. You're getting the keys to the building. Mm. And if you just do the job that you've been hired for, you've basically let everybody know that that's a job you want to keep. But if you start looking around and seeing all the other opportunities in the organization, that's when you're going to really shine. Most people don't even see that there are white spaces, there are opportunities every single place. And if you're the one who can go in and start seeing them and start tackling them, then you start being recognized as a star and incredible doors open up to you.
Tina, I'm not just saying this. I've now done about 200 episodes of the LeadX podcast, and that might be the single best piece of advice I've heard thus far.
Well, I've learned it in my own life. I see it with my students and young alumni, is those people who are really paying attention to what's going on. I could give dozens of examples, both from my own life. Listen, I came into my job at Stanford as a very junior position. I looked at the job and I thought, wow, this is kind of an interesting opportunity, entrepreneurship, innovation, leadership. And I took the job. It was a super junior position. Mm. Why? Because it's like find a tsunami and stand in front of it. And so I got in the door and I just kept volunteering for everything. Volunteering. And you know what? I set my sight. At this point, I didn't set a low sight for myself. I set a vision that how can I go from being a staff member, actually a really junior staff member, to becoming a professor. And you know what? It took 13 years, but I got made a professor 5 years ago.
That is amazing. And you say it as it took 13 years, and I'm hearing it only took 13 years.
Exactly. So. I mean, I'm a unicorn. People look at us like, what did you do? Well, every single day. And this is a piece of advice I think is really important. Every single day, if you do 1% better than the day before, at the end of a year, you have, think about the compounding effect. You are doing dozens of times better than someone who has just stood still. And so that just 1% compounding ends up having an enormous impact.
Well, I'm going to end up taking that clip because this is almost, it's our unofficial motto on the LeadX show. I always talk about just get 1% better every single day.
Oh,
yeah,
great.
This is great. This is not even planned, not even planned. And not to, I mean, I guess just to underscore the point one more time, I'm going to get the details wrong, but I think I think it was Sheryl Sandberg who said it was early job. I'm not sure which company. And she went to, you know, a mentor to say, the role isn't so great. And he said, listen, if you're offered a seat on a rocket ship, don't ask which seat. Don't care what seat it is. Yep. That's not the point. So I really like this idea.
I think you're absolutely right. Absolutely. I mean, find a really exciting place with really interesting people, right?
Right.
Surround yourself with people who are smarter than you are, not more knowledgeable, and just be a sponge sucking it in. One of the things that I find is that students often, when they're getting ready to go out and start their career, they're so worried about their first job. It doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter where you start. You can start anywhere,
right?
Because there are opportunities everywhere.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. So your new book, Tina, it's Creativity Rules: Get Ideas Out of Your Head and Into the World. So tell us, like, what's the big idea of the book?
Yes. So I wrote this book to solve a really big problem. I found that people really don't understand that there is a pathway to go from the seeds of an idea through implementation. And we look at it as this magical process, and we look at people who've been successful, and it's a mystery. And so I spent a long time really evaluating and talking to lots of innovators, lots of entrepreneurs, and also looking at the things I teach in my courses on innovation and entrepreneurship. And I realized that there is a process that people go through. And it's a combination of attitudes and actions that take you from imagination to creativity to innovation, to entrepreneurship. And once you master this, you can then use this in any setting.
And you call this process the invention cycle, right?
Exactly.
Such a big idea about this to me is how you started. I think for us mere mortals, we tend to think about creativity or being innovative as a mysterious trait. You know, like, Jane is so innovative, or add Bill to the team. He's so creative. And we don't really think about it. I don't think a lot of people think about it as something that we can improve in ourselves or follow this roadmap. I mean, you've actually laid it out for us. So walk us through the steps a little bit more.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. People think of it as a mystery, but really, just like teaching anything, you know, math, sports, music. I mean, it doesn't mean that everybody is going to be a prodigy, but we can all get better. It's fascinating to me that people think you can't teach this stuff. So the idea is this, and I want to point out, it's called the invention cycle because the end leads back to the beginning. And so let me just paint a picture. At the imagination stage, you are engaging with the world and envisioning what might be different. Now, this is quite different than a lot of people think. Most people think that you envision what you want to do and then you engage in making it happen. But engagement is the first step. You need to engage, get out there. Engagement is the master key that opens this up. And if you're really paying attention, you can then envision, oh, wow, here's a problem. I might be able to make that better. And once you've figured out what problem you want to tackle and envision what might be better, you move to the creativity stage. And that requires some motivation and experimentation. And even a little bit of motivation leads to then a little experiment. And the results there lead to more motivation. So you've got a little feedback loop there between motivation and experimentation. And once you've now got enough data that shows that the problem you're trying to solve is actually a meaningful one and that you've got some interesting solutions, you move to the innovation stage. And at the innovation stage, this requires focus and reframing. And essentially, this means at this point, you are making this a priority. You're going to really focus on this problem. And now you're going to look at it from some unique new angles. And by reframing the problem, you unlock some really interesting solutions. In fact, this is what I spend most of my time teaching, is reframing. And how do you basically take an old problem or an old challenge and see it in a new light? And you have to question the questions you're asking in order to come up with some real innovations. And once you've come up with those innovations, you move to the entrepreneurship stage. And there you need grit, essentially persistence, and inspiring other people. And you need to inspire other people to join your team, to invest in you, to buy your product. And this ends up stimulating their imagination. And it goes back to the beginning. And once you stimulate other people's imagination, they then end up getting triggered to have more creativity, more innovation, and more entrepreneurship.
Wow, that's...
I know that was fast.
No.
Was fast. Is that okay?
This is great. And it's a challenge for all of our guests since the LeadX show is a short format show. I'm like, okay, you just spent years of your life working on this book. Summarize it, you know, in 2 minutes. I think that is a great summary. And what I really liked about your book also is that at the end of every chapter, you offer some projects, like things to actually do so we can apply this and play with it. And, you know, in the spirit of getting better, 1% better every single day, I'm always telling our listeners, I give them a daily challenge. So what would be a good challenge that we could do? Maybe one of these projects from your book or something similar that we could actually tackle, you know, in the next day.
Sure. I mean, I'll give you something easy from the beginning. And you're right. The reason I decided to put exercises at the end of each chapter is that you can read it and find it entertaining and interesting, and the examples and stories are provocative and they give you some insights. But unless you do it yourself, it doesn't become yours. So one of the simple exercises in the first chapter is to literally sit down somewhere, a cafe, your own kitchen, walk around a grocery store, whatever it is, and just spend an hour, just an hour or a whole hour, paying attention and writing down all the things that you see and notice that you never noticed before, and all the problems and the opportunities, essentially a bug list. And start getting used to keeping a bug list of the things that are problems, because those are always opportunities, right? The bigger the problem, the bigger the opportunity.
This is great. And it's a great reminder for myself, because I think that part of why I'm not more creative is that I'm inside my head too often and not present in my environment and not mindful. I'm thinking about my to-do list or something else, and I'm not aware of what's going on around me and taking all that in. So I think that's a great challenge that I will accept. So LeadX listeners, creativity, innovation, clearly it's critical whether you're a solo consultant, a startup entrepreneur, or a big company intrapreneur. So I think we've got two choices. We can all apply and get into Stanford and go take Professor Seelig's class, or Tina, we can get your book and get this wisdom. So tell us, how can we find out more about you, your work, and of course, your new book?
Oh, you're very kind to ask. Well, I have a sort of nice online presence. People can find out some more about me. I've got a website, tinaseelig.com. I also have a blog on Medium, which is, I think you can find me if you search for Tina Seelig. And you can follow me on Twitter at tseelig. And I'd love to hear from people. I always respond to every email I get, and I'm always so happy to be helpful if someone has an issue.
That's very generous of you. And we'll put all of those links in the show notes. And of course, your book is available on Amazon.com, all great bookstores, and all of that. Tina, thank you so much for coming on to the LeadX show.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Friends, before we go, remember, at LeadX, we're on a mission to give free leadership training and professional development to everyone, anywhere, at any time. Visit leadx.org to check out our free course of the day and our weekly live webinars. And if you're the kind of person who always says thank you, please take 1 minute to go leave a quick rating for the LeadX show on iTunes, because we're at 246 reviews and I need to get to 300. We get about 2 ratings a week right now, which is less than 1 per show. My heart is breaking. But big thanks to the new reviews that did come in last month from people like M. Shahi, Annette Sky, ZenTim69, Mike071966, Stacy H331, Kaplan in Carolina, of course, Princess Rose Love, Megahee01, and Living With Intention. Thanks, guys, for taking that 1 minute, going on to iTunes, clicking some stars, and that subscribe button. Remember, until next time, leadership isn't a choice. Leadership is influence, and we influence all of the time, at work, at home, and in our communities. Today, lead mindfully. Lead with intent.